would like just to turn to the Word of God, please, in John's Gospel, and chapter number 20, John's Gospel, and chapter number 20, and we'll read from verse 19. You remember that we have been looking on Sunday evenings at some men that God met, and we want to continue that thought tonight. We want to look at another man that God met. We'd like to look at the man Thomas. And we'll find Thomas in John chapter 20, and we'd like to read from verse 19. Verse 19 says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and he saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas," John's Gospel is a Gospel that's full of buts. You read a number of buts in John's Gospel, and here's another one of them. "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And we do look for God to add a blessing to as well. We've already considered for three men, haven't we, as we've been looking at the little thought in the Bible of men that God met. We started off with an unusual character, maybe one that we aren't so familiar with. You remember that we looked at Jephthah in the Old Testament. And then we thought of that little man that climbed the tree, Zacchaeus. And then we thought of the rich young ruler. Well, we've come to the fourth of these men that God met, and we want to think tonight about Thomas, one of the disciples. And in particular, we want to look at what is said there about Thomas in John chapter 20, and we want to think about the journey that Thomas undertook in that chapter. Now, maybe you were reading with me, and maybe you were concentrating on that chapter, and perhaps you didn't notice the journey that he undertook in John chapter 20. But I want to suggest to you that Thomas undertakes a journey here in the verses that we've read together. In fact, I want to say that it is perhaps the greatest journey that any person could ever undertake. I know some of us have been in some great journeys. Lindsay and Louise were just off to New Zealand not that long ago. That's quite a great journey, isn't it? I've been in Africa, and that was something of a journey. And I remember my old grandfather. He's dead a long time now, but when he was an old man, and he was an old-fashioned kind of chap, I remember asking him, I remember saying to him, Papa, have you ever been abroad? And he looked at me and he thought for a moment or two and he said to me, Oh aye, he said, son, I've been abroad. I was in Millport once. And that was his idea of a long journey. Well, some of us have been in long journeys. But I want to show you a journey here in John chapter 20. It's perhaps the greatest journey that any of us can ever embark upon. It's the journey from fear to faith. And in John chapter 20, Thomas undertakes that journey. And it's the greatest journey of his life, from fear to faith. Now, three little things I want just to show you in John chapter 20 this evening as we spend a few minutes thinking about Thomas. I want you to notice down there in verse 24, the first thing that we're told about him, and it's really a matter of his absence, and we'll think a little bit about that. Verse 24, you remember how it starts with a but. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, he was not with them. And we'll think just a little bit about his absence. You see, there was a gathering there of Christians on the first day of the week, and Thomas wasn't there, and he missed out, and we'll think about his absence. And then I want to think a little bit about his attitude, because I suppose his attitude is just so typical of so many men and women today, and maybe you can even identify with his attitude. You remember when he hears about the Lord Jesus having been raised again from the dead, and he hears that the Lord Jesus has been seen. He knew that the Lord Jesus had died on the cross. He saw the Lord Jesus. I think he would have seen the Lord Jesus anyway, with the nails in his hands and in his feet. He certainly would have heard about it. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ had died, and here someone tells him that after the Lord Jesus Christ has died, he's been seen again. And he takes the kind of attitude that I suppose so many people today would take, and we find it there in verse 25. He said, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." He refuses to believe. He refuses to accept that the Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and he takes the attitude that so many take today, seeing is believing. And unless I see it myself, I'm just not going to accept it. So we'll think about his absence and his attitude. And then thirdly, just towards the end, I want to think about his answer. It's an answer that he never thought would ever come out of his lips. An answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's ever so simple, but it's ever so important. And if we're going to be saved, if we're going to be in heaven, if we're going to have our sins forgiven, if our lives are going to be changed, this answer's got to come from our heart as well. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Thomas was very clear about it, wasn't he? He was absolutely clear about who the Lord Jesus Christ was. Round about us today there are many people, you know, and they would question all sorts of things about the Lord Jesus. They would be ever so vague about some things, and there would be those that would tell us that the Bible doesn't teach that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Well, Thomas is very clear about it. My Lord and my God. So three simple things. Look with me then down at verse 24, would you please? Verse 24. It says this, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." And John tells us about his absence. The verses that we read are amongst the most important verses in the Bible, because they deal with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deal with the fact that not only did the Lord Jesus Christ die on the cross, but he was raised again from the dead. And in the first part of that chapter that we read, the Lord Jesus Christ, he appears to his disciples in the upper room. He's been dead, and he's been buried. And yet, even although all of that has happened to him, and even although the doors are locked, the Lord Jesus Christ appears in the midst of his disciples. But sad to say, for some reason, Thomas was absent. He wasn't there. Now, I don't know why he wasn't there. I don't know what kind of excuse he would have had. I don't know whether maybe he thought he had something better on that night, or whether he thought he was too busy, or maybe he thought he was too tired. I don't know. Or maybe he was just discouraged, and he had just lost the zest, he had just lost the oomph. I don't know what it was. But for some reason, he decided not to go that night. He decided that as the disciples would gather there on the first Sunday after the Lord Jesus Christ had died, he decided he wouldn't go. And that was very sad, you know. Because that night that they met together, those early disciples, something very special would happen. Something that would have encouraged his heart so much. Knowing something about Thomas, knowing that he was a man full of doubts and full of worries and full of fears, you know, he would have got such a blessing had he been there amongst the disciples that evening. But he didn't go, and he missed out. I suppose that is true, isn't it? It's often true, that, isn't it? that when we fail just to meet together, and when we fail to come together, we miss out on a blessing. Well, that was Thomas's experience. And that night, you know, that he didn't go. That night that Satan whispered in his ear, "Oh, don't bother tonight." That was the very night that the Lord Jesus Christ had something special for him. Well, he was absent. He wasn't there when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples. Now, Thomas was an interesting kind of character. Interesting kind of chap. I suppose if you were to try and describe him, I think you would describe him like this. I think you would say about Thomas that he was a kind of down-to-earth kind of chap. He was a kind of man that had both feet firmly on the ground. He didn't have any funny ideas. He was a kind of chap that would come away with things like, you know, seeing is believing. And he would be the kind of chap that would be full of questions. He wouldn't just accept something because somebody else said it. He would want to know what the proof was and what the evidence was. He was the kind of person that wouldn't have gone in for a religion that was just all emotion or all hype. He was looking for something concrete and something solid and something sound. He was a down-to-earth, practical kind of chap. That was the kind of man that Thomas was. He was also a wee bit of a bit of a sceptic and a bit of a cynic. If you want to turn back your Bibles, maybe into John chapter 11, I'll show you what I mean about Thomas. In John chapter 11. You look down there at verse 7. John 11 deals with the Lord Jesus raising Lazarus again from the dead. And in verse 7 of John chapter 11, the Lord Jesus says this. He says, Then after that said he to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." And his disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" And then if you look down there at verse 16, you'll find what Thomas has to say about it. "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him." Thomas, the cynic and the sceptic. Thomas will go, but you've got to be realistic about things, says Thomas. If we go where the Lord Jesus is going, there's going to be all sorts of trouble, and we're all going to die. He was a kind of doom and gloom and a kind of bleak kind of person. He was a kind of chap, and his glass, it was never half full, it was always half empty. That kind of a person, you know, very kind of negative and sceptic and that kind of thing. That made it very hard for a man like Thomas just to believe things and to accept things. Made it very hard for him indeed. Verse 25. Remember what he says. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." I will not believe. Thomas wanted the proof. He wanted the evidence. There was something holding back Thomas from believing. It wasn't that he couldn't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised again from the dead. It wasn't that that was an impossible thing to believe. But he says this, "I will not believe." He refuses to believe. It's something that he isn't prepared to do. "I will not believe." And there's something that's holding him back. You see, what's holding Thomas back? Well, I think you know there's a few things that are holding Thomas back from believing. The first thing that's holding Thomas back is this, it's his fear. His fear. He's afraid. He's afraid to believe. You see, if the Lord Jesus Christ is raised again from the dead, that'll shatter everything that Thomas has ever thought about the world, ever understood about the world. Thomas couldn't really grasp the possibility of somebody being raised again from the dead. It would just shatter the way he understood the world. Here was something he couldn't understand. He was a very down-to-earth kind of chap. He could understand all about the natural world round about. But here was something beyond what he could understand. Here was something supernatural. And he was afraid of it. What are people, you know, afraid? They're afraid of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're afraid to believe because it'll change their life and things will never be the same again. And there was just a little bit of Thomas when he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he heard that the Lord Jesus had been risen again from the dead, he was afraid. He was afraid to believe in the Lord Jesus. You meet people like that, don't you? People that are afraid to believe in the Lord Jesus. We're all afraid of something, aren't we? Not that the house, when we were working away at the house, you know, there was all, it was interesting, you know, because there's some big strong men, you know, and you wouldn't think they'd be afraid of anything, you know. But over the last few months, we've got to know what some of them are afraid of. And there's one chap, and he'll do anything for you, but he'll no climb a ladder. He's afraid of heights, you know. And then there's another chap, and he'll do anything for you, but he'll no go under a floor. He's claustrophobic, and he's afraid to be shut in. And there's another chap, and he flings big joists about in his back, and he'll rip things to bits for you, but if he sees a wee bit of his own blood, he passes out, you know. He's afraid of his own blood. Well, Thomas, he was afraid. He was afraid of things he couldn't understand. He was afraid of the supernatural. And he really just would not believe. He would not believe that not only had the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sins, he could accept that Christ could die, but he just could not understand. He was not willing to accept nor to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen again from the dead. He wouldn't believe. He wouldn't believe. He was too afraid to believe. Wonder if you're too afraid to believe. What if the Lord Jesus Christ really did rise again from the dead? What if? What if you're wrong about everything you ever thought about the world? What if the Lord Jesus Christ really was who he said he was, the Son of God? What if the Lord Jesus Christ really did die for sins at Calvary? What if the Lord Jesus Christ really wasn't any ordinary man? And what if he really did rise again from the dead? What if the Lord Jesus Christ really was God's only way of salvation? What if when the Lord Jesus Christ said there in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What if he was right? And what if the Lord Jesus Christ is God's only way of salvation? And the only hope that you have for eternity is to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that would change everything that we understand, wouldn't it? It would change the way that we live. It would change the kind of things that we do. It would change everything about our life. Well, Thomas was afraid. He was afraid to believe. And for Thomas, there's a special word that the Lord Jesus Christ has for him. You'll find it down there in John chapter 20. It's the very first word that the Lord Jesus Christ has, and it's for Thomas. Verse 26, and after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Here's a special word from the Lord Jesus. For those that are too afraid to put their trust in him. Maybe it would be the case that just to believe seems to be a frightful thing. Just to believe something that you can't understand, it just seems to be a bit scary. Well, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's got just the word that Thomas needs. Peace. Peace be unto you. Well, I think Thomas, you know, he was afraid, and maybe he was too afraid to believe, but he seems too, you know, to have been full of doubts, and we sometimes call him Doubting Thomas, don't we? Because of all of his doubts. He could cope with things that he could see and that he could touch, but he just found it difficult just to accept something like this. A second-hand experience, it just wasn't enough for Thomas. He needed something that would reassure his doubts. Lord Jesus Christ is something for him. that will just settle the doubts in his mind. It's something, you know, that I can't give you. There's no way that I have of overcoming your doubts. But the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. And here in John chapter 20, there is something that happens to Thomas. And something that puts all of the doubts out of his mind. All of the worries. What if they're having me on? What if the Lord Jesus Christ isn't really raised again from the dead? What if it's all a trick? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got something for him. Something that will overcome all of those doubts. And in John chapter 20, Thomas receives something that settles his heart and gives him confidence and gives him faith. He receives a personal experience of the Lord Jesus. And all of those doubts about the wounds and all of those things that he has said about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus comes to him. And there in verse 27, the Lord Jesus says to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." You see, this is what Thomas needed. He didn't need clever arguments. He didn't even need a great knowledge of the Bible. What he really needed, he needed a personal experience of the Lord Jesus. He needed what no preacher could give to him. He needed to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ for himself. And maybe tonight, you know, that would just be my prayer. It would be my prayer that all of the doubts and all of the fears and all of the things that would hold us back from accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, from believing that when Christ died on the cross for people, he died there for me. To believe that when Christ died on the cross, he died for my sins. And to believe what the Word of God has to say about him. That not only did he die, but he was raised again from the third day. Tonight, you know, it would be my special prayer that God would overcome those doubts and all of those fears, and that Christ would really speak to us in a way that would just overcome it all and bring to us real faith. It's only Christ that can do that. It's only Christ that can take a life that's full of fear and doubts and bring it to faith in himself. Well, he has that kind of experience, that personal experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ ministers to Thomas. You know, it wasn't an unreasonable thing for Thomas to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. I suppose it's maybe something that we all have doubts and fears about. It's perfectly reasonable. Perfectly reasonable. It has been described, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ has been described as the most testified fact in the whole of history. There are more eyewitness accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ being raised from the dead than there is of any other historical event 2,000 years ago. You find it there in John chapter 20. 10 men as they were gathered together in the first part of the chapter. And John records what happened. That they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, at least 11 men gathered together. And again, they see the Lord Jesus Christ raised again from the dead. And as you would read forward in your Bible, you would read what the Apostle Paul says about the Lord Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll find that he records in a letter there that is undisputed and sent to the Corinthians, he records that the Lord Jesus Christ was seen of over 500 witnesses on one occasion. And so time and time again, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the reality of it all was witnessed. So it wasn't an unreasonable thing to believe that he was raised again from the dead. And it wasn't unplanned. It was all there. God had planned it. God had organized it. God had ordered it so that his son would die on the cross for sin. And so that one day, God, 3 days after he had died, God would raise him again from the dead. It was all recorded there in the Old Testament of the Bible. It was all written hundreds of years before it would happen. You'll find it, for example, in the book of Psalms. Maybe you want to turn to that with me. Psalm number 16. You might just read a little bit of that. There's a number of places in the Old Testament of the Bible when it's recorded that the Lord Jesus Christ should be raised again from the dead. But you'll find one of them in Psalm 16. And let me just read read from verse 9 there of Psalm 16. And the psalmist says, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." Now Psalm 16 has to do with the Lord Jesus. And so in verse 9 you have somebody's flesh somebody's body, if you like, and it's been laid to rest, like a body would be laid to rest in the grave. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And about five or six times in the Old Testament, that's just one of them, it's recorded there that there would be one and he would die, but he would be raised again. And you see how he's referred to in Psalm 16 as the Holy One. He's one who would be buried, but he wouldn't rot and decay. To his soul wouldn't be abandoned to hell. He would be raised again from the dead. So it wasn't an unreasonable thing that Thomas was to believe. It was something that had been witnessed, and something that had been prophesied, and something that had been recorded. But it was only the Lord Jesus, you know, that could overcome all of those doubts and all of those fears that were in his mind. It took a personal experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, you know, you maybe feel that you're wasting your time preaching. What do you mean, Stuart? What I mean is this, that there's nothing that I can tell you, and there's nothing that I can give you that can ever change you. Nothing I can do. Absolutely nothing. The only way that you'll ever be saved is if Christ saves you. And the only way that you'll ever put your faith in Christ is if Christ comes and gives you that faith to believe. You see, at the end of the day, it's just between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. We don't believe, you know, what they believe in the chapels up the road, that you come along to a place and the priest will do it all for you. He won't, he can't. It's just you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas found that day. It was him and Christ. The best I can do is to be a signpost, just with a finger pointing, and pointing to the Lord Jesus. And if your salvation is real, it'll be real not because of where you go to, and not because of what you say, and not because of what you claim. But if your salvation is real, it'll be real because you have had a personal experience of Jesus Christ. And if you have not had a personal experience of Jesus Christ, if there has never been a time in your life where the Lord Jesus has come into your life, and all of the doubts and all of the fears have gone, and like Thomas, you've just cried out to him, "My Lord and my God, I know, Lord Jesus, that you are God. And I know that you died on the cross for my sins. And I know that you were raised again from the dead. Come into my life and save me." If you've never had that experience, and if you have never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in that way, it's all just fake and it's all just false. Sometimes you wonder if you're wasting your time preaching, you see. Because it's just you and Christ at the end of the day. Just you and Christ. Well, he had all of these doubts and he had all of these fears. But the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ broke them down. Christ alone broke them down. He broke it all down. And you'll find his answer to it all in verse 28, the answer of Thomas. And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." You remember how that chapter began? "I will not believe." He wouldn't believe. Not that he couldn't believe. Not that there was anything unreasonable. He was just going to believe what had actually happened. People had seen it happen. It was written in the Bible that it would happen. But he wouldn't believe it. He refused it. But you see, it's turned full circle now. He's changed his mind completely. That's what you call conversion, where you change your mind completely. And he's changed his mind all about the Lord Jesus. And as he looks at that person standing before him, he sees that he's God. But more than that, a little word that's ever so important there that he used, did you see it? "My Lord and my God." We don't want you just to believe, you see, that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And we don't want you just to believe that he died on the cross. And we don't just want you to believe that he was raised again from the dead. But we want you to believe this,
that he died for you, and that he was raised again from the dead for you, and we want you to make him your Lord, my Lord, and my God. And all of the fears and all of the doubts, they all vanished because Christ spoke to him. And Christ came in, and Christ took it all away, and he just laid all of his faith and put all of his trust in the Lord Jesus. It would be good tonight, you know, if whatever holds us back from Christ would just be put away by the Lord Jesus. And if we would just be like Thomas, and put our trust and faith in the Saviour. I suppose Thomas, you know, he was the first person that ever came into the benefit of Romans 10 and 9. And there you read this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And Thomas did that. He was the very first person to do that. The very first person to confess that the Lord Jesus Christ was Lord, and the first person really to believe that he was raised again from the dead. And he did that, and he was saved. Shall we? Our Father, we do come before thee, and we do give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our Father, for the greatness of what he did. We thank thee for Calvary. We thank thee, our Father, for one who died for our sins upon the cross. We thank thee, our Father, for one who was raised in power from the dead. And we thank thee, our Father, for one who's able to save. We realise that there's all sorts of things that can hold us back from putting our trust in him, from asking him to be our Lord and Saviour. And we pray tonight, our Father, that the Spirit of God would just take dealings with each of our heart and break down those barriers. We ask, our Father, that would build us all up. And we pray that thou encourage us and challenge us from thy word. For we ask it in Jesus' name.